This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gary, Rami, and Sparky have been going at it for 3 hours, but haven't crashed and burned yet.
Well, it's the big show.
It's time for the guys to reset the big topics from today's big show and let you pick a lane.
Pick a Lane is brought to you by the Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, where the 2017 summer racing season is in full swing. Go to GreatLakesDragway.com for the full season schedule, daily track updates, and to purchase discounted ticket packages.
It is that time here on the Wendy's Big Show and in the Holtz Chevrolet Studios with Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler. Those are our two former Packers, the one and only Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm Rami Makhlouf, and here's what you have to pick from in Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane. Right lane, give us one reason to believe and one reason to doubt the Milwaukee Brewers. Center lane, if the Cubs add Sonny Gray in addition to already adding Jose Quintana, does that make them the favorites to win the NL Central? And the return lane, would you be okay with NFL players striking? 799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. I don't think I ever got Leroy or Gary's reason to doubt the Milwaukee Brewers, did I? We got to believe. Did we get around the horn with doubt?
Yeah.
What was it?
I said mid reliever. He said pitching altogether.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. All right. What's your reason to believe? Anybody can speak up right now.
Well, I thought you both agree on chemistry. I think we're all in Gary too. It's chemistry. That's what it is. Leroy doesn't know what I say when it magic pixie dust or baseball gods or whatever, but this team here really has played together as a team as much as anybody can. They play with a lot of emotion, and that really has helped them overcome whatever it is that may have happened throughout the course of the year, whether that's Junior Guerra getting hurt on opening day, whether that's Ryan Braun being out a majority of the first half, whether that's Chase Anderson now going down for a month or two. They've been able to overcome all of that, in large part, I think, because of chemistry. Now, Seth Everett, when he comes on our show on Mondays, he doesn't buy in chemistry at all in baseball. So he and I disagree on that. I think it's a huge factor for this team this year.
I was just reading an article, I think it was yesterday, and they quoted Theo Epstein in it, David Ross, David Stearns. GMs now, and the smart young GMs, these guys who have come up through the analytics era
numbers
of Major League Baseball, they're trying to find a way to quantify chemistry.
What do you mean? How do you quantify chemistry?
I don't
know,
but they are hard at work on it. Right now, in Major League Baseball front offices across baseball.
They overthink everything, Leroy.
I see.
Yeah, everything.
But that tells me that it's real. If smart young GMs like that are trying to figure out how they can actually come up with a mathematical equation for chemistry,
they don't want,
that tells me it's real.
I'm going to tell you something.
Yes.
They don't want to actually watch baseball games. They want to sit at home on a computer and tell you what to do. That way they don't got to watch the game at all. You don't got to actually eye test anybody. We're just going to look at my numbers, and I'm going to go off of that. Screw traditional way of scouting and looking at people and everything else. Don't got to do anything. I'm just going to look at my numbers, and I'm going to make my decision.
I need a 300 hitter. Here, and here.
You talk about that, right?
So it drives me crazy.
I just did complete our football test. We have to take it every year. And so the Seattle Seahawks now, they're kind of the poster child for USA football.
For youth football, you're talking about?
For youth football.
Right.
On tackling.
The Utes.
And so they have this, the Seahawks have this whole thing that they're doing on video for USA football, for youth football and tackle, blah, blah, blah.
Pete Carroll.
So they brought in this guy, and so he's breaking down tackling, okay? And they used Earl Thomas as this, because they show him the most in these, not necessarily drills, but in full game, how he's tackling. And then they brought in this guy who broke down everything that Earl Thomas did. So they're trying to teach this new way of tackling now. And they use Earl Thomas as his prototype guy, how you then go tackle. And they broke down Earl Thomas every single step, how he went and made a tackle. On good inside information, Earl Thomas don't even know how he made that tackle. He just did it. So what I'm saying is we got a lot of guys who, like you say, who are doing this stuff, who are looking inside, trying to figure out his numbers. We got a lot of guys that are watching a lot of film and trying to quantify a lot of stuff that people are doing or not doing to come up with some outcome or cause or number, which is absolutely incredible to me. How that, I mean, if you watch his film, if you saw Earl Thomas make, and this guy break that down, and then not only break it down, then put it into a motion where it teach it to a player on how to do what Earl Thomas did. When Earl Thomas can't even tell you
how he did it.
How he did it.
Gary, last summer when the refs were in town in Green Bay during training camp and they were talking about safety and technique and tackling, they used Seattle as an example.
Yeah, Seattle is the example for the whole NFL.
Really?
For all of USA football.
The team that got fined for over-aggressively. Yeah.
In OTAs.
Yeah,
that makes
too
sense.
Much contact in OTAs.
Yeah, I'll, use,
OTAs.
Those use those.
Yeah.
Illegally,
For Little League football.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So you're right. Just saying that that's out there, I mean, I think they can quantify all that stuff.
It's not either or. When I say that guys are trying to come up with equations and numbers to better their scouting, it's not either or. And every time we have a GM on here and ask him about that, they'll make that same point. Just because you're an analytics guy doesn't mean that you believe in hands-on, eyes-on-the-player type of scouting. You're just trying to give yourself an edge and give yourself more information and more knowledge when making these decisions. So when I say they're trying to quantify chemistry, no, that doesn't mean that Theo Epstein and David Stearns want to sit in a room somewhere and not watch baseball but just crunch numbers. It doesn't mean that at all. They're just giving themselves another tool on how to evaluate players, and it's obviously working because the teams that are willing to use those tools have succeeded. And
the scout's going to fill out a form with a mathematical evaluation on personality. I'm sure some of that's grown on. But how far are we away from measuring through genetics how good a player is or how quick they are? Like, you know, like Buck's DNA. You know what I'm saying?
But speaking of numbers, I believe...
Let's not go there,
I think
please.
That one reason to believe in the Brewers is the numbers. In 21 years of the wild card era, there have been 131 teams that led their team, that led their division at the All-Star break. 80 of them won that division. 93 made the playoffs. Since the double wild card in 2012, 60% of division leaders finished in first place. 76.7% reached the playoffs. Since 96, teams with leads of five or more games in the division are almost locks to win that division. In those 21 years, 90%, 27 of the 30 teams with leads of five games or more went on to win the division. 93.3% made the playoffs. And here's one more number for you. If the Brewers continue to win at their present pace, they'll have 89 wins at the end of the year. For the Cubs or Cardinals to match that win total, not even to win the division, but just to match the win total and end up with a tie, they would have to go 46-28 rest of the way.
It's not happening.
Oh, what source did you? That was
that is from Tom Oates in the Wisconsin State Journal.
Oates.
So that's the right lane. Yeah. Give us one reason to believe and one reason to doubt the Milwaukee Brewers.
Just 799-1250. Listen to the last set of numbers he told you. That's all that matters.
Or tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Which numbers?
Five game or more lead. Since 96. That's the only number that matters. The rest of that stuff doesn't matter because you don't know if it was a one game lead, a half game lead, two game lead, 10 game lead.
True.
Those other numbers I don't care about. The last set of numbers, what he read, of five games or more since 96, over 90% or whatever it is, are pretty much in the playoffs.
27 of 30.
That, I mean, come on.
Moving,
I mean, as a Brewer fan, what more do you need to know? That's just use that number.
I can't believe I'm saying this with the way that the season started in terms of the expectations. It would be an epic collapse if the Brewers didn't win this division.
Sure would. And then everybody's got to come to the reality of it was still a good year. That's going
to
be tough.
Moving to the center lane, in addition to adding Jose Quintana yesterday, John Morosi today reported that the Cubs are still in on talks to acquire Sonny Gray. Gary, if they were able to do that, does that make them the favorites to do what we just talked about and lead to an epic collapse of the Milwaukee Brewers and win the division?
You know, I never answered the question.
You didn't?
No, the first time.
Okay, well, answer it now, please.
What's the question again?
Would the Cubs be the favorites to win the division if they can add Sonny Gray after already adding Jose Quintana?
No, I don't think they would. I think when you look at the Brewers at this point, I think they got it. And whatever that it is, I think they have it. And the Cubs are going to try to find it. And so they're hoping to add players to shake it up to try to find it, because they need to find. As much as the Brewers have it, the Cubs don't have it. You understand what I'm saying? Because really, if you think about it, the Cubs are underachieving. The Brewers are overachieving. And so it's not so you get down and you start talking about talent, but they have that certain sort of magic that the Cubs don't have right now, and the Cubs trying to add a player to get it. That's why I don't want the Brewers actually to make a move. I think the magic that they have in that locker room, what they got going right now, is good. Don't upset the apple cart. So that's why I think they're good right where they're at. No, it doesn't matter at all what they're doing right now.
That's the center lane.
Now,
if
they go out and get CC Sabathia, you know, of 6-7 years ago, yeah, that might be a problem.
So that's the center lane. And the question to you, would the Cubs be the favorites to win this division if they were to add Sonny Gray on top of Jose Quintana? 799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. And moving to the return lane, would you be okay with NFL players striking, as a lot of them were upset with the money that was getting thrown around during the NBA free agent frenzy? Richard Sherman says he thinks players are going to need to strike, or at the very least play more hardball when it comes to contract negotiations. I told you guys I was looking for the national TV revenue for the NFL, and this was released earlier in the week by the Packers, who have to disclose their financials. The Packers reported national revenue of $244 million. That's a 9.6% increase over the previous year, and they say most of that is from the NFL's national TV contracts, which are shared equally among the 32 teams. $244 million is about 1/32nd of the NFL's national TV revenue. I can't even do the math to figure out what that adds up to. What's 244 million times 32?
No clue.
I'm going to figure that out during the break, and I'll have that exact figure for you.
How do you get all those little zeros in the deposit slip? You know,
when we
those
return,
little boxes.
Ask Floyd Mayweather. Right lane, what's one reason to believe and one reason to doubt the Brewers? Center lane, would great of the Cubs make them the favorites? And the return lane, would you be okay with NFL players striking? 799-1250, and have the final say on the big topics discussed on today's big show. Meanwhile, Milwaukee's baseball team is home this weekend against the Phillies. And while Philadelphia may be known for Rocky and Philly cheesesteaks, we are fortunate to have Roberts Specialty Meats as our go-to place for all things delicious. Paul Roberts is our hometown champion butcher and has lots of options to make your Miller Park tailgate party a winner, starting with ribs on a stick, boneless pork ribs marinated in a tangy barbecue sauce. And how tender are they, everyone?
A mother's love.
Or the equally popular marinated chicken skewers and barbecue, garlic parmesan, or Door County cherry varieties, all easy to heat up in just minutes. We also love our brats, and you'll find over 30 varieties of original sausages and brats at Roberts, including the Wisconsin Wurst, combining beer, bacon, and cheddar into one awesome treat. Call Roberts today at 262-549-MEAT for the best selection and to reserve your order. And when you visit, make sure you pick up some of their cherry wood smoked beef sticks or jerky, the perfect snacks for any time. And check them out online at robertspecialtymeatswaukesha.com for more info and money saving coupons.
Sauce too, right?
Oh yeah,
the Gorman Thomas,
they have the Gorman Thomas sauce there.
Yeah, get some of that.
And for the best,
oh my god, it's good.
Don't drink it like Tim Dillard and Cecil Cooper did. But for the best of meats, shop Robert's Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher. From this evening, right lane, give us one reason to believe and one reason to doubt the Brewers. Center lane, would Sonny Gray to the Cubs on top of Jose Quintana make them the favorites to win the NL Central? In the return lane, would you understand, would you be okay with NFL players striking? 799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. I mentioned before the break that the Packers, as their share of the NFL's TV contract, get $244 million. So I multiply 244 million times 32.
Yeah. What'd you come up with, Cubs?
$7.8 billion for 1 year of their TV contract.
You sure that's not the entire thing?
What?
Do you know how many Instagram
models? No, they reported their national revenue for the year, the Packers reported, was $244 million. And most of that, they say, is from the NFL's national TV contracts, which are shared equally among the 32 teams.
Everybody get a check.
$7.8 billion.
Do you know how many Instagram models I can get with that kind of money?
Probably quite a few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody on Instagram, just follow me. Just come on over.
Let's go to Christian in Uptown.
20-minute intervals.
You're on the Wendy's Big Show. Pick a lane, Christian.
20 seconds, I mean.
I'm in the right lane. Solidly,
what's up?
And I stand against an NFL strike for a few reasons. I just picked up my bifocals. I'm a Gen Xer, but I happen to be a metrics guy.
Okay.
So I'm a weird hybrid across generations. We've talked about all sorts of ancillary issues, and a lot of our response to the issue of salaries and equity is based on bad data or bad interpretation of data, including emotion, and it's often, much like my bifocals, in need of a better eye test. Because it's, you know, you have to have more than just two factors on a graph. Like if we're looking at, you know, even back in 2015, the ranks are about the same internationally. The NBA in 2015 was first in average salary per player. The Major League Baseball was third internationally, and the NFL was seventh. And roughly like $4 million, $3.5 million, and $2 million per player or per average player salary.
Ronald, what the hell is he talking about?
So basically, okay, so the NBA had the highest average salary. The NFL was seventh internationally, and Major League Baseball was third. But you can't use just an X and a Y factor on a graph. You have to include other factors. And so in this case, you have to look at like the number of games played. And if you think about it like that, so if you just add in the number of games played, the per game salary of an NFL player is $125,000 on average. For NBA, it's $50,000, and for MLB, it's $20,000.
Can you give me a Florida State version of this, sir?
Basically, what I'm trying to say is we're kind of looking at it without the whole picture, and it's really emotional if you look at just two factors on a graph. If we're just looking at the revenue, and even the numbers that Rami just brought to us, I don't know if that's revenue minus expenses, and I don't know. I also don't have the numbers to compare to what I have to of the numbers of the percentage of profitability of each sport to know how much relatively how much each owner is making, you know, versus expenses versus all these other things. You know, and you play 16 games, plus the four in the NFL, you know, it may look worse that their average salary is seventh, you know, in internationally per all sports, but their per game average salary is infinitely higher. It's tops in the world. So,
but does that matter when you look at the fact of what they put their bodies through to play that game and their window of earning?
Shouldn't it? I mean, oh yeah, I know the average. Yes, and that's why you have to add in those other factors. I agree. So we know that the NFL, the players that retire, they need better health insurance. They need better, you know, they need better post career care. And the average career is, you know, right around 4 years, which is not long. So yeah, when you add those other things in, it ends up being a far more complicated question than the way we've been discussing with a lot of emotion and what we could see with our limited view. But I think it takes a lot more data.
I agree.
All right, thanks for the call.
It's got a lot of layers. Thanks.
So
I said that earlier.
I did a little bit more research based off what you said.
Yes.
You said it was 7.8 billion, right?
Yes.
That's correct. 7.8 billion is what it was last year for the NFL. Gary, 7.8 billion in TV revenue in 2016. Do you know what TV revenue is expected to be in 2014 for the National Football League?
2014?
That's already passed.
No, 2017. Do you know what the revenue is?
No.
14 billion. Mm. It was 7.8 billion
it doubled?
Last year.
It's
going
double?
To double, almost double, coming up this year. Yeah. 14 billion is the expected revenue that will be split amongst NFL teams this year from 7.8 billion in 2016.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're telling me as a player you wouldn't want to strike?
Yeah.
Get out of here. Yeah. Of course you would.
But a lot of those guys can't afford to. That's the problem. I mean, you because it's so.
Yeah, you got to save up for a rainy day.
Our league is so top heavy.
It rains every day. I mean,
it's very top heavy.
Meaning that there's probably only four guys out of 53 making big money.
Well, it should be based off. Maybe based off the six.
Making real big money where they don't have to worry about going to work. So, you know, if you look at maybe five. Look at the Packers contracts. I don't know if you can pull them up. But if you look at the Packers contract, look at the real money. They probably got about five guys making real good money.
But see, the TV revenue was set up for the owners based on what people. It's not relatively normal business. Yeah, go ahead and jump in.
No, go ahead. No, the revenue.
See, like the TV revenue is not your day-to-day expenses. That's the gate, pro shop, no business. That's extra. Mm-hmm. The 244 extra. Mm-hmm. You can put it right in your pocket and do what you want.
No.
Or right. You can, you know, just run your business accordingly. Because, again, average, they don't have to show anybody anything. Just the Packers.
From what I can see here on the internet, the average salary for an NFL player last year was $1.9 million per year.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of bottom feeders.
But look at the contracts of the Packers, if you can pull them up, Stephen.
You're, sure.
And that, to me, that... And that's pretty much how the NFL is, though. You'll see the
for every Andrew
money.
Luck, you're gonna see a lot of guys making $200 to $300 million.
I mean, so you got Rodgers, you got Clay Matthews. I think Mike Daniels
right.
signed a big
deal.
Bennett may be in there.
Based
the top five,
based on everything here. Mm-hmm. Just talk about cap money.
Yeah,
$20.3 million. Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, $15 million. Uh-huh. Randall Cobb, $12.6 million. Jordy Nelson, $11.5 million. Mike Daniels, $10.4 million. Bulaga, 7'8", Burnett, 6'9", Bakhtiari, 5'9", Nick Perry, 5'9", or would have been 5'9".
Yeah.
Martellus Bennett, 3.8, Mason Crosby, 3.6, Troy Guyon, 3.4,
so it falls off.
Lane Taylor, 3.1, and then everybody else is under 3.
Yeah, and even if you look at the guys, $5 million, Steve, they only make it 2.5.
I mean, you've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys making over $5 million.
Yeah, and the $5 million is not real money. I mean, to us it is, but
that's a lot of money to me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I would take $5 mil if anybody's giving that out.
Yeah.
We're resetting the big topics right now.
You can look comfortably with
you
that.
You think? Yeah. You think I could get by on that?
Yeah, but you're not gonna your grandkids ain't gonna get anything off.
Oh, I'm not gonna have any grandkids, so we're all set. Right,
yeah, you're not having kids though, right?
No.
Rami, you know what?
If you're not having kids, you're just wasting being a man. Come on.
Whoa.
Man.
That's one way to look at it.
Whoa, really?
It
is. You got to have some kids.
I mean, that's how a caveman would look
on.
At it. But,
you
want to
procreate,
but that's cool.
Bro?
Yeah, adopt then. Adopt some kids.
If I ever decide.
Adopt a 25-year-old kid.
If I ever decide I want kids, I'm going to hold
you
a combine. I'm going to find the most athletic
Rami?
Child. And I'm going to adopt him. And then cash in.
You don't have a little kid to come out with hummus all over him.
Hummus?
Long hair and dark.
That's how you get kids in the first place, man.
No, I want a kid who's going to get to be about 6'5".
I know you do.
Has a nice stroke. Yeah, get that.
You don't need all that.
Get that NBA money, man.
You need to be just like you.
Well,
no,
you
man.
You don't get that radio money.
I don't feel a need to pass on my genes. My genes aren't that great.
You do have good genes.
I have great. I have good hair. I have nice eyes.
Nope. Yeah.
That's about it,
genes.
Man.
You lost 300 pounds.
My bone structure is bad. There's heart disease in my family.
What
there's
good stuff.
There's
though?
Cancer in my family.
You're
it's not
a hard
that,
worker.
It's not that great to pass this on, man. It's not something so great that I need to pass it on.
You're funny. You're hard worker.
6'5". If you're trying to do 6'5".
Well, Serena's already got a baby.
Gotta,
it's too late for that one.
Rid of that one you got right now.
No, that's why I'm
Jeremy,
saying I'm going to adopt.
Jeremy, do you have paperwork? Do you have any paperwork I can take a look at?
I'm going to hold a baby combine. And I'm going to find the most athletic kid that I can find.
You don't need to do that.
The hell I don't.
You can have more kids who could be a scientist or a doctor, lawyer.
Ah.
What do you mean, Those people live longer. They make big salaries. They got good health care.
That's all a bunch of nonsense.
You're trying to get... I mean, come on.
I'm going to take about 6 kids.
Don't you want a kid to grow up to be a male dancer?
I'm
going to
take about
money?
6 kids that I'm considering adopting, and we're going to go to Dave & Buster's. I'm going to line them up at the Papa Shot. I'm going to see who has the best stroke, and whichever one does gets
do
to
that.
Go home with me.
No.
But first I'll buy him some food, because Dave & Buster's is a great place to eat, drink, play, and watch sports.
Give him a card, too, though.
It's my favorite place in the whole wide world. Where else can you check out all your favorite pro baseball action? On over 46 flat screens.
There you go.
And in that D&B Sports Lodge, 3 161-inch screens and 8 75-inch screens. Drinks and food are fantastic. It's not bar food. It's great, great food, and they're always adding new things to that great, great menu. And that Million Dollar Midway is a great place for kids of all ages, like me. Latest and greatest in arcade games, like the new Amazing Spider-Man game. And Dave & Buster's now announces corporate happy hour parties Monday through Friday, 4:30 to 7 p.m., featuring half-price cocktails, 250 domestic pints, $1 off all wine. And for companies looking for their own space, they offer a private billiards room with a large screen to watch the game of your choice and a billiards table for open play. Make it a team-building experience by competing against your coworkers in racing, basketball, and many other multiplayer games. Dave & Buster's is your headquarters for fantasy football, free room rental, free Wi-Fi, free draft kit. Set up your draft party by contacting Ben at Dave & Buster's at 414-454-0100. Eat, drink, play, watch sports at Dave & Buster's, Highway 100, just south of North Avenue in Wauwatosa.
Sports Flash right now.
From the Masters Ease WSSP Sports Update Studio, I'm Mike Clemens. Masters Ease is Wisconsin's largest home leisure retailer specializing in patio furniture. Check out over $1 million of new inventory in Waukesha and the Bayshore Town Center. First on the Fan, baseball back in action tonight at Miller Park. The Crew start the second half of their season with a 3-game weekend series against the Philadelphia Phillies. Now the Brewers at 5.5-game lead over Chicago. Some of the players they can get back. Eric Sogard, he's been on the DL with that ankle injury. How's he coming along? Craig Counsell in the dugout a short time ago.
Eric's taking BP. We haven't got him on the field running yet, which is something we need to do, and ground balls and things like that. So, yeah, I think I would doubt that he's activated on Saturday, yeah.
Zach Davies on the mound tonight for Milwaukee. We're going to have the latest Brewers news coming up tonight at 6 o'clock with the On Deck Show. First pitch at 7:10 tonight at Miller Park. It's a special weekend, too. They have brought back the 1982 World Series Brewers. Guys like Cecil Cooper, Gorman Thomas, Raleigh Fingers, Robin Yount.
When we all get back in a room as a group, it was like we were all in the clubhouse just last night, and we're back again this morning for the next. I mean, it's like no one ever left. It really feels like we've never left the clubhouse.
NBA, the Bucks want to meet again this weekend with Knicks and Bulls guard Derrick Rose. In the meantime, the Bucks are going to play the Utah Jazz in their final summer game tonight in Las Vegas. NFL, the Cowboys' Ezekiel Elliott must now respond to a league investigation into domestic violence allegations dating back to last year. Vikings wide receiver Michael Floyd suspended 4 games for substance abuse. This update on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Listen live on the WSS.
Brought to you by the Law Offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, it is that time here on the Wendy's Big Show. Our apologies to all our listeners who were on hold for Great Lakes Dragway Pick a Lane. We'll be back Monday. Plenty of time to talk with Gary, Sparky, Leroy. Joining us right now, though, on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, that dude that covers the Brewers for us here on The Fan at Brewers.com. It is our Milwaukee baseball insider, Adam McCalvey. How are you this evening, Adam?
I'm so good. So I'm behind your station again here at the ballpark. Today it's a Radio Joe Zanzola. Now, does he own a boat or does he just dress like he owns a boat?
He just dresses like he owns a boat. Adam, what's deeper, the alleys at Miller Park or the alleys in his hairline?
Oh, I'm certainly not going to be the one talking about that.
Hey, congratulate him because he's getting married.
Oh, okay. I'll let him know. He's got the headphones on. He's working really hard.
Yeah, let him know.
No. Tap him on the shoulder and say congratulations on the engagement.
Joe. Hey, Joe. Congratulations on your pending nuptial. Congratulations on your nuptial. You guys are messing with me live on the
No. It's a legend, the truth.
Yeah, no, we announced it today on the air. Whether or not it's true doesn't matter. We announced it today on the air that Radio Joe is engaged.
On the radio, it's true.
Yeah. God, who cares about the truth? The lie is so entertaining.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Speaking of truth and lies, Adam, there's a lot floating around when it comes to the Milwaukee Brewers, including that they were in on the Jose Quintana talks before the Cubs landed them. How serious is David Stearns in this front office? How dead set are they, I should say, on adding an arm to that rotation before the trade deadline comes and goes?
Well, if you ask David Stearns that question, he goes, oh, I don't know. We're not going to do anything that's going to impact our long-term future. And then, yeah, you read Bob Nightingale saying that it sounds like they were pretty deep in conversation for Quintana before the Cubs got in. So I think this is definitely one of those cases where what he wants to say publicly is maybe a little different than what is actually happening behind the scenes. You know, they want to say that they like their depth. They like that they have Brandon Woodruff coming back in the next couple of weeks. They think Chase Anderson's making progress. They like what they've gotten this far with the guys that they have. But I do think he would like to add. I will say I still don't see it being a rental situation. I think it's way more likely to be like that kind of big Quintana deal, like a Sonny Gray type deal where it's a player that you have for beyond this season. It would really surprise me if they go out and give away any kind of prospect for a pitcher who's just going to be here for 2 months.
But at the same point, you look at that Cubs deal, and you were talking about it on Twitter yesterday, coming up with a comparable deal for the Brewers. If you take, you know, their top two prospects or whatever and throw in a couple more, I just can't see the Milwaukee Brewers trading Lewis Brinson at this point. I don't care who the pitcher is.
Well, I think if they were in on Jose Quintana and it didn't involve Lewis Brinson, that would surprise me. Some people suggested maybe a Corey Ray, Josh Hader combo to start it. And I suppose that could make sense too, because the guys that the White Sox got were all A-ball players. They were not advanced like Lewis Brinson is. So it's hard to compare total apples to apples. But what I came up with was Brinson and Ortiz, because he's in the 50s, I think, in terms of the MLB rank. Our prospect ranking and plus two players. So, I mean, that's the kind of, you know, that's a dent. And yeah, the Brewers have added a lot of players to their system in the last 2 years, but that would be a pretty significant chunk to take out. And this is, again, against the backdrop of this all happening way earlier than expected. So, I don't know. It's interesting because in past years, like reading Twitter and reading, I think listening to you guys and what I hear from people coming up to me, often the fans are really eager for the team to make a deal. You know, let's bring someone in, get some, we need pitching, etc. This year it's like the opposite. Isn't what you guys hear more people who want the Brewers to sort of stand pat
yes.
what they've got, stick with this plan, and if it doesn't happen this year, you feel
no.
like you're poised for the next couple
yeah.
of years.
Yeah, on our station, Tim and Leroy want them to go for it.
Yeah.
For the most part, the rest of us are okay if they do decide to stand pat.
And look, the go for it, I don't mean to dismiss that, because there is something to be said for it. You never know when you're going to get the opportunity.
Right. That's what I said.
You know, and the 2014 Brewers are kind of an example of that, where it went away yeah. fast, where they were in first and it looked like they were just going to sail to the playoffs. At least, I don't know that we thought they were going to win the World Series that year, but I mean, it certainly looked like October was going to be busy here, and it came apart pretty quickly. So the idea that you try to strike when you have an opportunity is not meritless. I think the other thing that it comes to mind, if you look ahead a little bit, is some people are saying about the Cubs that they're, because the reports today are that they're also looking at Sonny Gray,
right.
They're looking at adding more. I think some Brewers fans are all for that, in a sense. If you have the long view of this thing, and this is not the year that you're all, sort of all in, if the Cubs can unload some of these really good young players they have coming, that could have an impact on the next couple of years. So this is all very fascinating, because, it's happening earlier than expected, and it's leading to a lot of people having very well-thought-out takes in totally different directions that I think are worth thinking about. It's an interesting time to be a fan of this team.
So Adam, but still, I think the Brewers are that team with the, make an analogy of a girl with the sexy red dress on.
Hey,
but they're not viewed as the girl with the sexy short red dress on. Why is that still?
No, but I think that might be changing, Gary. And I think that changed the one game at Wrigley. And then the three games in New York City,
mm-hmm.
that they are suddenly on the radar a little bit. And no, they didn't get a player into the All-Star game, but they got that nice graphic on Fox during the All-Star game, sort of singing the praises of what Craig Counsell's club has been able to do. And I, you know, MLB Network today, I was on there, and I know on the other shows they were talking a lot of Brewers. I think there is notice now around the league a little bit more about this team. And you hear managers, including Joe Maddon, talk about that. This is a formidable team. When you look at it, just statistically, what they've accomplished, forget what the expectations were, but what they have been able to accomplish in terms of hitting homers, scoring runs, pitching, which is still somewhat surprising when you look at the personnel and the losses that they've endured in the rotation, injuries to the rotation, and Neftali Feliz just turning out to not work. I think there is a little bit more sense of them being taken seriously around the league.
Talking with Adam McKelvey here on the Wendy's Big Show. This acquisition of Tyler Webb, and by the way, it looks like Garrett Cooper is probably going to get the start, I'm guessing, for the Yankees tonight, because the other first baseman is undergoing surgery, so he'll get to play right away for the Yankees. But Tyler Webb, a lefty, you know, throws around 90, 92 miles an hour fastball, good slider, does well against lefties, decent whiff rate like we were talking about yesterday. my thing on this is, what does this mean for Josh Hader? I mean, because for me, it's either they wanted two lefties in the pen, or they're thinking about maybe moving Hader back into the rotation for the second half of the season because they've been saving up on innings for him all year. Or maybe he's in these trade talks and they're protecting themselves if they do move him.
Well, the last is a really interesting theory because they have been very, very protective of Josh Hader. And the way they've used him out there, the way they've talked about him, it's been extremely protective. Now, it may just be that they feel like that's the best way to use him. That's how Craig Counsell has sold it, that they're trying to figure out how to get the most out of him in this role because, look, there's – and I always hate bringing up this name because I don't want people to think I'm saying Josh Hader is the next Andrew Miller. But look at what Andrew Miller was able to do for Cleveland last year is a multi-inning lefty.
Sure.
Now, the key was durability. He was able to do it over and over and over in the playoffs. And I don't think they're going to get there. It'll take a while to get there with Josh Hader, just in terms of physically bouncing back and him being comfortable, you know, pitching with that kind of regularity. But that is the kind of stuff we're talking about, at least. And we saw it at Yankee Stadium in that game where he struck out all the five in a row or something, and I think seven strikeouts in a short stint. So the stuff's there to be really effective in that role. And I think with Webb, I don't know that we want to necessarily draw conclusions about other players based on this one pickup. Craig Counsell spoke about it today in terms of depth and that he's going to be a guy pitching early-ish in games, kind of a, you know, a true middle reliever. He can give him multi-innings if they need that, if a guy goes out, if a starter goes out early. He's a guy who can face lefties and righties. He's a guy who just throws strikes. So I'm not certain that we should necessarily say that this acquisition means anything for Josh Hader. But Sparky, I do think your thought about the way they've been very, very careful with him and the way they've talked about him, it does also sort of stand out, and it does make you wonder whether or not he's a name that comes up. Look, that makes sense, right? If the Brewers are going to go to a team and ask about a trade, especially for a starting pitcher,
well,
and the team wants pitching back, it's going to start with Josh Hader.
But remember, too, I mean, Stearns is the one that was involved to whatever degree in trading Phillips and Hader and these guys to Milwaukee and Santana. He was involved in it. So either they weren't totally sold on him, or they were and they gave up on him. But when you put him in a bullpen role, I'm looking at it from our perspective. You know, he's a top 100 prospect or whatever it is. But if Stearns looks at him as just a setup guy going forward and not maybe a front end of the rotation guy, another GM does, then I'm sure Stearns isn't as worried about parting with him if he doesn't believe he can have that success in that different role.
Yeah, but again, I think you might be just going a half step too far. You know, the fact a team trades a player doesn't necessarily mean that they're down on the player. Sometimes, you know, Houston was going for it, and they thought Carlos Gomez and Mike Fiers could help them, and they gave up some good minor league prospects to get those guys. And it didn't work out, you know, in the long run that year. But, you know, I'm not certain that it meant that they didn't like the guys that they gave up. I still think they view Hader as a starter. I think that's what he's going to be. He walked too many guys this year. He was upside down, walks the strikeouts up here in the big leagues. For a while, he turned it right side up with that good outing at Yankee Stadium. So it's the walks that are that hurdle for him to really be a guy who you can look at as a starting candidate.
That's Adam McAlvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider. Read his work at Brewers.com, MLB.com, and on Twitter at Adam McAlvey. And every Friday right here on the Wendy's Big Show. Appreciate it, Adam.
All right, we didn't even talk about the 82 guys, but that was a lot of fun today. And it'll be fun tomorrow for people who come out. They should definitely try to get in early. Get a glimpse of Coop and Yount and the gang. And
you know, I wish Molitor was there. We just don't see him enough.
Well, he's busy.
Yeah, I get it.
He's got a team.
And I'm sure plenty on that at Brewers.com. Right, Adam?
Definitely. Yeah, they talked about actually watching the this club and how they see a couple of similarities, power and speed.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next Friday. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
All right. Adam
McAlvey joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. When you're ready to get into or back into the housing market, look no further than Great Midwest Bank. Visit greatmidwestbank.com and take the next step towards your new home.
What am I doing, Rum? Hit me.
Three times. Yeah. Three times.
Yeah.
I told you J&J Contractors.
Four
Go ahead.
Times a charm.
My good friends over at J&J Contractors. If you're looking to, let's say, remodel your home, they can get it done. If you're looking to maybe do some work in your kitchen, remodel your kitchen, get it up to date, bathrooms. I mean, you know, have you guys seen new bathrooms as of late? These new houses.
I need a new bathroom so bad, man.
Absolutely,
nice. I got tiles right just now. Falling off the wall of my bathtub.
They, I mean,
two sinks, a vanity.
Yeah, the big things now too, and then you've got a smaller bathroom is the taller toilet seat. Right now.
Mine is a little too tall. I got a new toilet not long after I moved into my house. I got short legs, man.
Yeah, the taller,
my feet are falling asleep.
And I got
while I'm
that
pooping.
Down. The taller toilet seat right now is
just
happening right now.
Just never heard anybody
that's
complain about.
That's a good picture for the week.
Yeah.
You've been there too long.
Yeah, the taller.
If you're in there longer than that, you need to call a doctor.
And for
a Roto-Rooter.
Yeah, and you know, and so in my bathroom that's in my bedroom, got that. Redone. I put the heated seat in that one.
Oh, nice.
I don't like that.
Because my bathroom and my bedroom tend to be cold in the wintertime.
Yeah, I like a cold toilet seat.
Of the house.
I don't want to sweat. I like a cold toilet seat.
No, man. That first initial, you put it on.
Especially first thing in the morning, that'll wake you right up.
No, I ain't trying to
do that. A cup of coffee and a cold toilet seat.
But doesn't the heat make you go easier?
Well, I got to go anyway.
I'm regular, man. I'm going to go.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
It's time to go. I'm
going to
go.
Yeah. I think the heat helps
more, more than anything else for me, when I put my
butt on that. The show isn't going to end until 6:30.
Yeah,
I
when
swear.
I put my butt on that cold toilet seat, it make it kind of go back up.
Prune
juice.
Make it clench up.
No prune juice.
Cold toilet seat make it go back up. Go check my good friends out at J&J Contractors. Like I say, no job is too small. They can do it all.
Leroy, where can the folks meet you this weekend?
This.
Next time you want me to do this about eating and stuff, don't talk about bathrooms. But but
true.
Tomorrow I'll be in Caledonia.
Oh, Caledonia.
The Pick and Save in Caledonia. From 11 to 2, 5111 Douglas Avenue. And that's in Caledonia. I'll be there from 11 to 2. I got some new recipe cards, and I want to give out and let people try these recipes. You can actually, tomorrow, allegedly, go on my site, LeroyButlerInc.com. You can purchase a jersey today only and tomorrow for pretty much $80, $90 off. And you can pick it up tomorrow. So come by. And that's the only thing we're doing now, guys. Don't bring over. Don't go clean out your basement and get stuff signed. It's for recipe cards. Bring your kids over to get a free autograph on the recipe card. So come see me tomorrow in Caledonia.
Thanks to Adam McCalvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider. Thanks to Bob Nightingale of USA Today. If you missed any of that or any of today's show,
that warm seat
Fan on Demand at 105.7FMTheFan.com. For Sparky, Gary, Leroy, Mike, I'm Rami saying thanks for listening. On Deck Show is next. We'll talk to you Monday starting at 2.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Get the new Fan app now. On demand, streaming, top stories, blogs.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.